Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And when that moon gets a big and bright, it's supernatural delight.
Frank, if I look a little leaner today, gave blood yesterday.
Actually, you don't, but go ahead.
And when you're done giving blood, they say, here's some restrictions for the rest of the day. And they said, no heavy exercising. Okay. They said, no drinking for 24 hours. Said, okay, we're going to have to alter a couple of these here. So not a real wise decision. After doing that, we decided to take Carson and the gang down to Forest Park on their bikes, do the loop. And I said, I could do a little running. You know, it's been a while. I got to get back out here. And got about halfway around the loop. And Carson's like, Dad, I'm beat. It's hot and I'm tired. So I got home and I was just like really lightheaded. And Kim said, you know what, this, just kind of take it easy, drink some liquids and, you know, stay away from alcohol, which I did for another hour.
Another hour. Very nice.
And I saw your former teammate, Jim Killeen, there at the blood drive.
One of the best. Neil from Carbondale, a real good friend and a great listener. We went to K's for happy hour on Friday. What's K's?
K's.
Everything was great. Food, drink, service, and music.
I'm guessing Kimmel's?
Oh, maybe Kimmel's. Very nice. Okay. Good to hear. Thank you for supporting.
Frank didn't know that it had
a little slogan there.
A moniker, nickname, K. Yeah. Hey, joining us now, Alex Schiffer from the Kansas City Star, covering your Missouri Tigers. And it's probably at this point, Alex, everybody's been in camp for a while. They're getting that itch, but we're still a good week and a half away from a game. Welcome aboard. Are you kind of getting a little bored with camp?
Yes and no. I mean, there's only 2 days this week, so it's not like we're going to be out there all four. And then, you know, you calendar turns and next week is game week. So I think it's kind of been perfectly balanced out in terms of how much access they gave us. And, you know, you're not really sick of it at all, honestly, with it just being 2 days left. Easy to power through.
Let's get to the main part of this interview. You're from the East. You've eaten great pizza your entire life. These people in Columbia think that Shakespeare's is like the second coming. I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's solid. But, Alex, give us a review.
I don't want to get sidetracked real quick, Frank, but it's funny you mentioned my East ties. You know, my mother's maiden name is Cusimano.
Oh.
And COS instead of CUS, everyone thinks we're related. So I enjoyed the Italian food question. I think it's solid, especially given, you know, for the Midwest and everything. I think the pricing is pretty good, everything too. You know, I think obviously back East, you can get a good slice of pizza for a buck or two. And I think Shake's kind of has the price point down compared to some other places. They have good variety too, unlike other places out here too. So I think it's good, especially for the state of Missouri. I just don't think it would hold up to what I grew up on, if that's fair.
Very good.
I think more than fair for our guy, Alex Cusimano Schiffer. Frank's got a son, Alex Cusimano, not to be confused. Let's talk a little bit about Kelly Bryant, the offense, what you've seen. We're so used to Drew Lock being the centerpiece. How different do you think their offense will be in terms of what they do?
I think they'll be a little more run-heavy, and that's not even just because of Kelly Bryant, but, I mean, they have some depth at running back with Larry Roundtree, Sammy Bakari, Tyler Beatty. But I don't think it'll look as different as people are making it out to be. You know, you look at Kelly Bryant's Clemson highlights, the guy can make some really impressive throws, and he's had a few in camp that have kind of been eye-popping a little bit. Again, you know, I think Drew's looked so effortlessly with his deep ball that I think just people expected that to be not as much the case, but I think it'll be different. I think they'll definitely have some plays designed for him, you know, a lot of run-pass option and some keepers and all that. But I do think that they're going to air it out more than they're getting credit for, just because, his numbers at Clemson were pretty good when he could throw it.
What about Albert O and his health right now?
Yeah, that to me is the question. I think, you know, we're not out there today, obviously. We go back tomorrow to see practice. To me, that's the biggest question, is that Barry Odom kind of said last week that that he was close to getting back on the field and that Albert O was nearing 100%. So if he's not out there this week, I think then you kind of start to question his status for Wyoming. But if he's out there tomorrow, it should be fine. Barry has said repeatedly that if it was a game week, that he would play. So, you know, no one really seems to know what the deal is. It seems like a knee strain and that he's still recovering from that, but it's the question to me right now at camp.
And last year was shoulder, right? when he missed the end of the season?
Yeah, he broke a bone in his shoulder at Florida last year, yes.
But I'm saying, so at least the good news is these are different injuries, but then you also start to think, God, is the kid snake bit? I mean, these are, it's not like the same thing recurring, which would also make you nervous. Is there a sense there that he's just injury prone?
Yeah, I think that that's definitely something that could be on the table if this lingers a little longer. You know, I mean, his redshirt freshman year, he was very healthy, and then the issues didn't arise until last year when he broke the bone. So I think it kind of depends upon how you look. I mean, it's not like he's never had a full season healthy. And I mean, to his credit, I mean, he did play his whole freshman season completely fine. So I think that if it lingers, then that's when that starts to come on the board a little bit more. Is this more of a Albert O thing than just one injury or another?
We're talking with Alex Schiffer, Frank and Martin, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Is the freshman who is turning the most heads and who has the best chance to have an impact in this season, Jelani Williams, the safety from Parkway North?
On the defense, I'd say, yeah, he's definitely one of my picks. You know, on offense, I mean, there's really three St. Louis guys I think could have big contributions as true freshmen. Barry Odom's already said. Nico Hay, the tight end from CBC, is going to probably burn his red shirt and play the whole year. I think Morris Massey is really good for a freshman. And you know, he's 6'3". He's made some amazing one-handed catches in practice. It didn't even look like he was trying that hard. I mean, he's 6'3", and I think he's fully aware of, or fully grown into his frame, I guess I should say. You know, some guys don't really know what to do with their height sometimes. I mean, he has been great. So I'd be stunned if he doesn't play. And they don't really have a receiver like him that can go up and get some of those types of balls like he can. And I'd also say, those three are probably my if I were betting today as to which true freshmen see the field for more than four games, I would say those three would be my first bet. So Jelani, I mean, if you saw him in high school, you know, he was a bit of a thin dude, but he hit really hard. He told me the other week he's gained about 17 pounds of muscle since he arrived in Missouri in January, which to me is impressive because you also remember he missed a lot of the spring with a broken foot. So, you know, I think he's still got a ways to go in terms of his frame, but, I mean, he definitely looks like he can give them some help in the secondary.
What about the kid from Arkansas, Jonathan Nance? I mean, they do seem to have a lot of depth right now at receiver. Maybe just a really – I don't know if that's their best position group, but what about Nance specifically?
Yeah, he's looked good, too. He's had some very impressive catches like Massey. Honestly, if I were kind of going off of just quick memory in the eye test, I think that him and Massey have had probably some of the nicest snags throughout fall camp. He's going to be interesting to me. You know, he's built more like a slot receiver, but they've used him a lot on the outside, and then he's even said that he's kind of played both. So I don't know where, you know, they can get really creative with him. You know, I agree with you. I think that wide receiver is an interesting position because I don't know if they have, like, last year everyone knew Emmanuel Hall was the guy coming back. He was the top receiver, no questions asked. I think that probably goes to Nance too, but Jonathan Johnson had a very good career. I think they bring back a lot. You know, Jalen Knox had a great freshman year. I think they have a lot of guys that can definitely help them, but I don't know if they have a clear cut. This is the guy that a team's defense has to zone in on more than the others. You know what I mean?
You know, Alex, I think that Barry Odom may have ruffled Gary Pinkel's feathers a little bit when he kind of insinuated that it wasn't a great situation that he inherited, and he was referring directly to the protest, and it wasn't. I get the impression, and I was there about 4 or 5 weeks ago, that this is really a comfortable Barry Odom and the real Barry Odom, and he just feels comfortable in his own skin maybe for the first time. What's your take?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think he's extremely laid back. I think he's shown a sense of humor more than he ever has. I've really enjoyed covering camp this summer. I mean, I think he's been extremely laid back. I think he's definitely – I think the Barry Odom from that when he first took this job, it's day and night just as to how he's handling everything. He seems extremely at ease.
Alex, I don't know if you had a chance. You had a deep dive into Wyoming. We call them trap games, of course. It's a team you're supposed to beat, but it is on the road. It's also week one, and some of the Mizzou teams in recent years took a little while to kind of get going. They've always been better later in the year. That's something they've got to avoid. Any sense of what Wyoming provides?
Right now, they're pretty banged up. I got my notes around here somewhere, but they just lost another starter on the defensive line last week to an ACL tear. I mean, I think they're down three or four starters just on the defensive line alone or on their front seven. They've really taken a hit with the injury bug early on. And, you know, a lot of people are making – so I think right now it's safe to say they're a thin team just because they had a lot of starters go down. And, you know, a lot of people making a big deal about the elevation. I get it, but, you know, Wyoming's record at home the last few years has been, like, around 500, if not a little better, I want to say. I forget, but I think they're, like, three games under or three games over 500 at home. To me, if that was a bigger factor, that number would be a lot more lopsided. You know what I mean? It's not like teams go in there and don't know what to do. And – Wyoming's able to pull one away. So I think that it's a team that Missouri should win, even though it's on the road. And, you know, I mean, they were picked like fourth or fifth in the Mountain West. So it's not like they're this team that is extremely deep and is a preseason favorite. I mean, they were already kind of picked a few spots down. Now they're having all these injuries. You know, how much is the elevation going to matter if you don't have your best guys out there?
What would be the dent in Mizzou's armor? I don't know where the perceived weakness could be right now. I'm not saying they're going 12-0 like Martin.
I only said it for Howard Richards. If he's listening, they're 12-0. Otherwise, I'm probably in the 9-3 camp. But if Howard's listening, 12-0.
What is the question mark?
First off, I don't play, you know, Howard Richards is a guy I wouldn't want to mess with. I mean, he's got a former offensive lineman, CIA guy. I'd probably answer a question differently around him too. Nice guy, though. But you know, I think the offense is capable of running itself between Kelly Bryant, the run game, and what they have at tight end and wide receiver. To me, you know, the defense is a really interesting situation with this team because, you know, they haven't had a pass rush in recent years. Everyone and their mother is on the Jordan Elliott hype train that they really think he could be a guy that has a breakout year, was all SEC, and is even the program's best chance at a first-round pick if you ask certain people. So, I mean, I think that the defense has a number of questions just in that they haven't had a pass rush, but people think that's going to change. So, you know, does that prove to be true? And, you know, even the secondary, I mean, they have a lot of guys back there. They, you know, it's now a 4-2-5 base defense, so they're going to have five guys potentially in some coverages back deep. David Gibbs, the new cornerbacks coach, you know, is the takeaway master. If you look at the stats of the teams that he inherited and what their pick, their interceptions were, their forced fumbles, just takeaways in general, they really saw an increase under his tutelage. So you have DeMarcus Acy and Christian Holmes back there, two veterans. I mean, Khalil Oliver's an upperclassman. Ron L. Perkins. You know, there's a lot of guys back there. Josh Bledsoe. So to me, just, you know, I think the question mark is just the defense and, you know, does it struggle? Where does it struggle? And which part of the unit carries it? You know, is there a pass rush? I mean, I think the linebacking core is pretty safe with Nick Bolton and Cale Garrett. And you know, the secondary has a lot of guys and the potential to have a big year, but does it happen? So just, I can't point to one part of the defense, but just in general, that's an area where you kind of wonder what's going to happen and what's going to be their strength, their weakness, their identity, et cetera.
Alex, I know you're not a grizzled vet, but give me an idea. A couple of road trips, like Mizzou fans that have not ventured out to an SEC away game for Mizzou, just even if it's not on the schedule this year, but where you'd recommend or places you've gone, said, this is a venue people need to visit.
Yeah, I was. I got a heads up on food questions. So I would say, so their four road games are Wyoming. I don't have any places for there.
Just order a steak.
Yeah. Let's see. Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and the Arkansas game is in Little Rock. So, yeah, I'll give you a few for each. Kentucky, I'm a big fan of Malone's Steakhouse. It's a favorite among the Kentucky basketball team. And Saul Goods.
Been there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. All of Saul Goods' food and the stuff they make it with, it comes from the state of Kentucky. It's about as homegrown as you can get. Big fan of Saul Goods and Malone's. Nashville, you know, I won't go with the de facto hot chicken suggestion, but I'm a big fan of Puckett's Grocery right off Broadway. It's like two blocks up from the main part of Broadway. Also, Acme Feed and Seed at the bottom of Broadway right on the river is a really good spot. And then Little Rock, there's this place called the Flying Fish that I am a big fan of, too. So that's one for each spot that's not Wyoming. And, I mean, you guys got Ben Fred, who used to cover Wyoming, to give you all your Laramie suggestions.
Ben Fred covered Wyoming?
Did he?
Mayo.
That was his first job out of college, yeah.
Wow. I know he's got the Tennessee roots.
I did not know
Sedalia
that.
Sedalia roots.
I've been to Laramie.
Yeah.
It's beautiful this time of year.
You know, Malone's is where John Calipari had Fletcher from Vachon. And before they sat down to order the steak, he says, is this going to be a celebratory dinner? And Fletcher said, yes, I'm committing. So then a strip steak later.
I would say that to every coach, and I'd order the biggest steak and then say, you know, I'll get back to you.
I will say this, Alex, with your Italian roots, in Kentucky, I'm not saying a full meal, but maybe, you know, the Friday night late, you're having a beer, you just followed your column, you go to Joe Bologna's for the just legendary breadsticks, which are breadsticks on steroids with some garlic and some butter. Solid place.
I'll keep that in mind for, I think Missouri basketball goes to Rupp Arena this year too, so I'll see what I can do about that. I'll report back in a couple months.
Sounds good. Alex, good work today. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Alex Schiffer joining us.
Kansas City Star on the beat covering your Missouri Tigers, and I just like that East Coast accent. It just sounds like it's got a little more edge, and it's entertaining. It's not as, God bless Mad Dog Russo, but that can kind of give you a headache like the old... Russo can give you a little bit of headache. I love Alex's voice and the fact that I was talking like venues, like, hey, where should you go? And he went, he knows what Frank wants. He went right back to food.
He did ask me what they're going to discuss. You know, if they're going to talk Mizzou football. And I'm like, yeah, they'll probably ask about food too, so be ready for that. So I think that's how he had the idea of where to go with that.
Speaking of Mad Dog, for some reason I turned the satellite radio. Oh, sound like Margaret Martin.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
You were driving Martin's car. That's the Barlow car, so Martin loaned it to you.
But they had Mad Dog on there for a moment, and then right afterward, I did not change the channel. Then they had on Jim Baker's prison lover, the guy
the old televangelist.
Yeah, Jim Baker, who had sexual relations with this gentleman while in the slammer. I'm telling you, that show. Remarkable.
Wow.
In the slammer. That's my favorite part. So that was part of the Mad Dog show?
Well, no, he said, okay, Howard, thanks. And then all of a sudden they just went right to this, and we have Jim Baker's prison lover on.
That sounds like somebody emailing the morning after.
Yeah, exactly.
Jim Baker's prison lover. I thought he and Tammy Faye, but I guess he strayed.
Yeah, I think she could push you that direction.
Took him prison.
All right, now, is he still alive?
Yes, I just looked it up.
Oh, about 80-ish?
Yeah, 79 years old.
Okay, now, how about net worth? This will shock you.
Oh, boy. I wonder if this will be true, though, because he's had some issues and probably has lost a lot of money.
But I think he still
Jim
has
Baker,
something.
Net worth online says $500,000.
Oh, okay.
I would still wager.
How about Tammy Faye?
Good question.
How do you picture her? Just with makeup running down her face, tearful. Oh. Isn't that just the image in your head immediately?
They say Is it Tammy Faye Baker or Mesner? Who are we looking for here?
Tammy Faye Baker. They may have separated at this point.
Okay. Tammy Faye Baker says $6 million.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think she might have.
Money, huh? That was just a bad stretch for a televangelist. I mean, then they were swaggered. I've sinned. Remember Swaggart?
Yeah. Gosh. And all of them just cashing huge checks. Doesn't matter.
Bar.
Yeah. Tammy, we should find. We'll do a deep dive as to why Tammy Faye got all the money while Jim had a lover in prison. That later ended up on the Mad Dog show.
All right, we'll take a short time out. Before we go to break, quick word about the Gatesworth. Took Dom there to see my mom this weekend. He had the sliders. I had a great big chef salad. We took my mom's pecan pie. We thought she was eating too many desserts. Man, they have great desserts.
Taking food from his mom.
Hey, she's got 14 desserts a week. One for lunch, one for dinner. We figured that she could go easy on the dessert. Not getting heavy at all, but she looks great. And boy, we just love that she loves the Gatesworth. They had an outstanding movie on Saturday night. It's the finest in senior living, the Gatesworth 170 and Delmar. We'll be right back.